you please pray with me? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to witness baptism, Lord. And Lord, and what it means and how it stirs our hearts, Father. That, Lord, this is the beginning of finding our identity, Lord, in you. Lord, how we are nurtured into faith and how we are brought forth from this point on. So, Father, we just ask, Lord, as we witness this expression, Lord, of faith, Lord, through the parents, Lord, and how they will raise their son, Lord, how we can find our identity in Christ, Lord, as we follow you. So, Father, we just pray you continue to move our hearts in this time. Lord, the words I'm about to share, Father God, that would be your words. And Lord, is there something, Lord, that's out of my own heart, my own bias, Father God, that it would just fall deaf, Father, that only your heart would be spoken today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Scripture reading will be from the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And if I hit the right button, we go in the right direction. Praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Well, some of my slides aren't showing up. Again, that's why my pages stuck together. Maybe. Well, maybe just go back one. Several weeks ago, I told you there are three kinds of lies in this world. There's white lies, black lies, and statistics. Now, scientists have concluded that in a typical year, I don't know how they have done this study, but they have figured out somehow that 1 billion snowflakes fall every second around the world. And they say that's enough snow to make for each person on the planet every 10 minutes. I would love to see their equation for this. But that's what they tell us. Every 10 minutes, a snowman can be made for every person on this world. And I'm sure likely you have heard before, out of all those millions and billions of snowflakes, there are never two that are identical. Each one is unique. Now, beloved, here's the truth I want us to recognize today is simply this, There's no one on this earth exactly like you. Even if you have an identical twin, your fingerprints are still going to be different. Your attitudes and your personalities are going to be completely different. There may be similarities, but you're still going to be uniquely you at the end of the day. Our identity is obviously influenced by a variety of different factors. Your family genetics. Again, you may look like one or both of your parents, but you're never going to be them. Your friends influence you, and they help shape your life into who you are. This is why your parents told you, be careful of the crowds you hang out with. I remember being in junior high school. It was a small town like this in West Virginia. And I remember before I could even get home to my front steps of my house, my mom was yelling at me, why were you with so-and-so? I'm like, how did she know? I found out later, the vice principal, who was good friends with my family, would watch me out the windows as I would go home. And he would tell my family, hey, Rusty's with these kids, and they're probably going to be the best influence on his life. You know, there's that old saying, it takes a tribe to raise a child, right? And that was the kind of community I grew up in. But, I remember getting spanked. I didn't even know what I was getting spanked for. But, I wore out a few belts in my life. And I can remember that basement door creaking open, man. And that's where my dad's leather work belt as a welder hung. And I knew I was in for it. But it helped shape me, too, that old belt. Your teachers. And I know there are many teachers here in this room this morning. I can still remember and tell you the names and where these teachers lived who helped shape and influence my life. You know, it wasn't even necessarily the impact in the classroom, but it was outside the classroom where I see them in the neighborhoods, and they would help speak into my life to encourage me and make me feel special, to affirm me. Think about how important who you are and the role that you have in shaping somebody else. Before I was even a pastor, I had other pastors who would mentor me and help shape me and help me make choices and decisions to further me. Again, beloved, just like me, I'm sure there's been many people who have helped shape and influence your life as you grew. Some in really good ways, and maybe such and not such good ways. But nonetheless, they played a part in shaping you and me. Again, this is why there's no one exactly like you, because we've all been influenced in different ways. So all of this presents us with questions. A series of questions like, who am I? What does God want me to do? What is my purpose in life? What is my unique identity in Christ? Beloved, it's simply this. It's easy for us to lose our identity and to find ourselves searching all over to find out who we are. I believe we become so inundated with all the voices around us telling us who we are that it gets to the place where if we're not guarded and careful, we'll begin to believe the voices of the world of who our identity is in. We hear the voices in our heart, our spirit, and our mind telling us good and bad things. We hear the good from those who we hope really love us and care for us and want to nurture us. And we want to believe those good things are from God. But yet we tend to want to believe the bad things which come from Satan and from those who really do not care about us. We believe those voices over the good things that don't have the best interest in mind for us. And we tend to hold on to those things much more strongly than the good things. We hear things like, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not attractive enough. You're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too spoiled, you're too poor. You're not smart enough, you're not athletic enough, you're not from the right family, you're not from the right neighborhood. Simply, beloved, you keep hearing those things, and the one resounding thing is you keep hearing is, you're not enough. When listening to those voices long enough, our identity can become shaped by it. And eventually, if you believe you're not enough, how long will you listen to that lie of the enemy? Those words and thoughts begin to stick, do they not? Beloved, I say this, hear this truth. God wants us to know who we are in Him. Not necessarily in ourselves, but who we are in Him. The moment that we profess faith in Christ, God wants us to know who we are. We are children of God, and we have then our new identity in Him. And when we become children of God, we become heirs of the King. That means we have complete access and availability to everything He has and whom He is. That we do not have to live spiritually deficient lives anymore if we truly find our identity in Christ. That we are good enough because you are His child, made in His image to do His will. We must not identify with these other voices anymore, but identify with that of Christ Jesus. Now, here's the truth. Many people will go through their whole life without being able to answer these questions. Unfortunately, we have the scripture and prayer and people we can go to help us understand our unique identity in Christ. Now, listen to this, beloved. Scientists also have studied, and I'm sure you know this as well, about little ducklings when they're born. And they tend to imprint upon the first thing that they see when they are hatched at birth. So what does it mean? It means they attach themselves to the first thing they see when they open their eyes. They actually think they are becoming that very thing. Now, in most cases, it's not a big problem because the first thing they typically usually see is the mama duck. So they quack like a duck, they walk like a duck, they swim like a duck, they're a duck. But sometimes these little babies have hatched out of that egg and have seen a collie or another type of dog, and they want to go to that dog when they're scared and sleep with that dog. They want to run with the dog when the dog goes because they imprinted upon that dog. It's almost as if they're having a little duckling identity crisis. But as the dog would chase after the tires on the car, the little duck would go pecking at the tires as well. But then there would be days where the duck would act like a duck. But sometimes that duck would act like a dog. So what am I trying to say? I think we all kind of go through this crisis in life to some degree or another, some more dramatic than others. But as we become believers in Christ, sometimes we still act like unbelievers. The problem is we've been born into a world that is fallen, a sinful world. So the very thing that God created us before we were even born, but we were born into this world, it's the first thing that we saw, we begin to identify with it first. And this is what happens. We don't really then begin to understand who we are. We try to do the right things, but we fail. We try to act like the thing we think we are rather than the person who God created us to be. And this is the second truth I want to give you today. Ducks aren't supposed to act like dogs, and believers are not supposed to act like unbelievers. So now let's look at these four phrases that I shared with you a moment ago. You were chosen before the beginning of time to be holy. We were to be blameless, to be separated, be set aside. Believers aren't supposed to act again like unbelievers. And I'm convinced this is the one reason we do not see more people come to relationship with Christ Jesus. Because if our lives don't look like and seem to be different from that from an unbeliever, then what do we really have to offer them? I'm convinced this is one of the reasons, again, we do not see more people to come to Christ, because we do not look and act differently. Again, this word means to be separated, to be holy. Paul said, we live in the world, but we do not belong to this world. We even sing a song that says, this world is not my home. I'm just merely passing through. Beloved, our time here is short. And as James says, our life is like that of a vapor. Our time on earth passes very quickly. So because we were chosen, we must make choices on a daily basis that best illustrate that of a holy life. Beloved, you have been chosen to be a model, an example of what holiness should look like. You were chosen, as Paul tells us, before the creation of the world. And what does that mean? Simply, it means this. God had you on his mind before anything else. He had you on his mind before darkness, before light, before the land, and before there were oceans, before anything God created, he had you and I on his mind. Secondly, you were adopted by God's good pleasure. All I can say simply here is this. My wife and I, our family was created by and through adoption, and we're very blessed to have our daughters. And it's kind of an interesting thing to think that, yes, and I'm not speaking down or anything that of biological families. The Lord blesses those and honors those and how those situations come to be as well. But to think that we had the opportunity to be like God in that sense, to choose our children and have them come and pursue them and them to grow along with us, to be adopted in. As we were adopted into God's family, we were able to adopt our daughters into ours. And what a special thing for them to know how they were chosen and they were desired and wanted. Now, I can only speak from my side of that, and I'd love to hear their story someday and how it makes them feel. Thirdly, you have been redeemed and bought with a price, for you are priceless. I remember being a child, it's probably in the early 80s. I remember going to the grocery store with my mother, and maybe many of you folks remember this. Now, I'm not going to speak of Jackie's age, but she told me she remembered this the other day. She said that she can remember, I asked her about getting the green stamps. You could go and after you got so many of them. My mom used to have a drawer full of green stamps in the junk drawer. Everyone had a junk drawer in their kitchen, right? That thing would be packed full of green stamps. And then, after so much time, that she could take them to the redemption center, wherever it was, and redeem them for something of value. And I remember one day, she allowed me to pick out something. It was a Wonder Bread t-shirt. I'm telling you what, I loved that. I wore it out. It was worn out. I got to the place where you couldn't even see the Wonder Bread man anymore on it. But I still wore it because I could see it. You could redeem something valuable. And God has done the same thing for you and me. But he took us to the redemption center, located at the foot of the cross, spilled his blood for you and I to take us from the category of sinner to saint. Remade us into something purposeful and useful. That's what he wants to do for us. We were chosen on purpose for a purpose. Verse 9 reminds us we were purposed in Christ. We were established in Christ. We were not a mistake. We were made for a purpose before the creation of God. He had us in mind. He was very intentional about why he made us. The psalmist tells us, and he says it this way, Lord, you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Again, we were made on purpose for a purpose. Now, Paul says it this way in verse 13. When we were made, we were marked with a seal of God's approval, a seal of God's protection, the seal of the Holy Spirit. We were established for a purpose, and once you understand who you are as sons and daughters in Christ, you'll begin to understand then your purpose in Him. I'm going to close with this story. This story comes out, I think, around World War II, World War I. So in the beginning of World War I, World War II, one of the wars there. It's a story about this this father and this son. And this son was of military age. And this father and his son used to, they enjoyed one thing very much together. They loved artwork, and they lived in Europe. So this father and his son would go around and find very old paintings of Van Gogh and Manet and Picasso. And at that time, they were not very expensive, and they had priceless artworks throughout their home. And then eventually the war hit, and the son had to go off to war to fight for his country. And the son, while in battle, one of his friends was wounded, and as he was carrying his friend to the medic, he was shot in the back and killed instantly. And one Christmas morning, that old man got a knock at the door. A couple years later, he opened the door, and there stood was a soldier greeting him with a large package in his hand. And the soldier introduced himself as, "I am the man, your son is saved." He goes, "I'm an artist, and I made a rendering of your son." And as the father opened the package, the father began to cry, because it was the very image of his son. I mean, I guess from what the painting revealed, he caught the exact expression and a personality of this old man's son. That following spring, the old man grew ill, and he had passed away. And he decided to put all of him and his son's paintings up for auction. Then that day finally arrived, and all the different collectors from around the world gathered in this place of this old man's home for the auction. And the auction began, but with the painting of this man's son. And the auctioneer said, "Who would like to begin this bidding for $100? And the room just grew silent, and no one said a word, because they had all just came to get the Van Goghs and the Picassos and the Manets. So the auctioneer said again, "Who would begin the auction for $100 of this painting?" And someone yelled from in the back of the room, "No one cares about this man's son. We're here for the serious art." And then for a little while longer, the room was still silent. Finally, a quiet voice said, "I'll give you $100 for that painting, for I knew that boy." The auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, sold." The auctioneer closed up his book and said, "We're finished for today." And then the crowd now began to really grumble and saying, "Well, what do you mean? We came here for all these other serious paintings." And he said, "Who was ever willing to give $100 for the son's painting, got them all." It's very simple, beloved. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son receives everything. Beloved, that is how it is for us. We brought a new young man into our faith with us this morning. And he still has yet to receive Christ for himself one day. But once he does, takes that personal relationship for him, he will have gained everything. Just like you and I. I think sometimes, again, we live very spiritually voided lives. yes, we claim Christ, but yet I think we haven't really gotten the fullness thereof. We haven't really pushed ourselves to the place of the foot of the cross saying, for Lord, you are my king. I am now an heir. I'm a son or a daughter in your kingdom. There's so much he wants to offer us, but yet we live these spiritually void lives. Beloved, as you leave this place today and we go next door to celebrate, just remember, if you've accepted Christ, then you have now received everything. For this is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Pray with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, this opportunity to come before you, Lord, to evaluate our lives before you, to see where we stand before you at the foot of the cross. Father, for if we have accepted your Son, then we have received everything. And Lord, Father, I pray, Lord, that would be our revelation this day. That you would come, Father God, you would usher us in with you, that we are truly sons and daughters now with you. For if we have you, we have everything. Lord, allow that, Lord, to be our champion phrase today. For if we have you, we have everything. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you please.